This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show or podcast, number 150 in the series For Franklin Matters. This recording is the third and final segment from the election information event hosted by Franklin in Focus, held at the Franklin Public Library on Saturday, October 13, 2018. This third and final segment covers the information session with the nurses representing the yes and the no sides of the ballot question number one. Links to the ballot question and additional information referenced during the talk are included in the text post accompanying this recording. The session recording runs about 40 minutes. So without further ado, here is the audio recording.
Thanks again.
We have,
yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Okay, leave a few.
Yeah, okay. And I will leave those here.
Those are the extended hours.
I think that's my eyeliner. That's
more,
not a pen.
Same speakers this morning pertaining to question one on the ballot.
Excuse me.
Which is one, I guess they're all equally controversial questions, but the patient to nurse limit question has gotten a lot of attention. You've probably seen signs all over the place. Basically, according to our booklet, the proposed law would limit how many patients can be assigned to each registered nurse in Massachusetts hospitals and certain other healthcare facilities. The maximum number of patients per registered nurse would vary by type of unit and level of care. A lot of verbiage, which I won't read. We'll probably hear that from our two speakers. But in essence, I won't try to summarize it. I guess there are points on both sides of the fence. We have here today two folks who've volunteered their time. Thank you very much for coming. Robin Lucier, RN, who's advocating yes. And, Donna Glynn, also an RN, who has volunteered her time. And I'm going to introduce the questions in a second. Mostly it's going to be like we did with our candidates, a few basic introductions, and then we'll go to some audience questions. Basically, Robin, could you tell us in 5 minutes?
Oh,
that's the
I knew my speech is longer than five.
Well, you can break it apart. The green one is the 5 minute timer. Tell us why we should vote yes on one.
Okay. Hi, my name is Robin Lucia. I'm a bedside nurse at Brigham and Women's Hospital. I have worked there for 34 years. Nurses are obviously the people who take care of us when we go to the hospital, and nurses are the people who wrote this ballot initiative. We looked at decades worth of research that shows, even though it seems to be common sense, that more nurses equal better care. We also looked at different recommendations from other professional nursing organizations, and that's how we wrote the question. For 20 years, nurses have been trying to get this passed through the legislature, but hospital executives and their associates have spent tens of millions of dollars lobbying to oppose it. In the past, they've also opposed workplace violence legislation, despite that nurses are assaulted more than any other profession. And they've also lobbied against safe patient handling, despite the fact that the average nurse lifts the equivalent of a baby elephant in an average shift. Today in Massachusetts hospitals, there are no legal limits to the amount of patients nurses can take care of except in the ICUs. California has passed a safe limit law back in 2004, and it's been shown that patients in California receive 3.5 more hours with their nurse than Massachusetts patients. Nurses are there to administer and monitor your reactions to medications, to take care of your surgical wounds, to monitor the technology that most patients are hooked to nowadays, to educate you and your family about your conditions, and to provide emotional support and to plan a successful discharge plan. California has 47% shorter ER waits than we do, and their healthcare premiums are less than ours. We know, we've heard the thing, is this a one size fits all? And I think it's dictated in the question that nurses know this is not true. The patients are different, so there's different limits set for different parts of the hospital, different units, and different specialty areas. Is this a rigid mandate? I'll again disagree with this. Nurses wrote it. We understand patients' conditions change. Part of the ballot question is for the hospitals to develop an acuity tool that will dictate how patients' condition changes, so there is some flexibility. Will patients be turned away or have to wait longer in emergency rooms? There's a state law. Patients cannot be turned away from emergency rooms. An ambulance cannot be diverted. In theory, wait times will decrease, not increase. There will be more nurses in the emergency room and more nurses on the floors. With more nurses in the emergency room, patients will be seen faster. Patients who will be need to admit it up on the floor will have a nurse on the floor able to take care of them. And those nurses on the floor will hopefully be able to get patients discharged to make beds more available for admissions and transfers. Is this really a problem, you might ask? Again, nurses are saying, yes, patients are sick. We don't have enough time to take care of them the way we'd like to be, the way we would choose to take care of them. This is dangerous for the patients. Will hospitals be fined? No fine mentioned in this initiative is automatic. If a potential violation is reported to the Healthcare Policy Commission, the Health Policy Commission will have the power to investigate. If they deem there's a violation, they'll inform the hospital, who will have to submit a plan to fix the problem. If the hospital continues to violate the law, the Health Policy Commission can refer the violation to the Attorney General, who then can choose to seek a fine in the amount from $0 up to $25,000. Will hospitals have to fire non-RN staff? Again, nurses understand this is a team approach to take care of patients. There's language in the ballot question that will hopefully not, that is, oh, excuse me, I'm losing my train of thinking here. I worked the night shift last night. I'm still awake. Sorry, not enough caffeine. But there is protection for all non-RN staff. They cannot fire or lay off any member of the healthcare team to meet the RN limits. Is there time to implement this law? Yes, there is. The law will go into effect on January 1st, 2019. But again, people are familiar with the marijuana law that went through almost 2 years ago. We also estimate it's going to take a process that will take 1.5 to 2 years to being, you know, to where it needs to be. So there's ample time for hospitals to come to compliance. Are there enough nurses out there for hospitals to hire? Again, we say yes. Massachusetts graduates 3,000 nurses a year. Hospitals currently have positions posted, but a lot of these positions are posted for part-time or per diems, not giving nurses benefits. Some nurses are leaving the hospitals again because they're burned out because they've been working so hard. The average new grad only lasts about 3 years at the bedside, and a lot of them are choosing to leave because of safety issues and burnout. Are nurses divided on this? Obviously we are. You see the vote yes, you see the vote no signs. A lot of times it seems like it's nurse against nurse. It's really nurse versus hospital executives. The Mass Health and Hospital Association is financing the No campaign, and they're on pace to spend more money on this campaign than the casino industry did on their ballot campaign a few years ago. They claim they can't afford safe staffing, but if they invested the money that they've spent on the No campaign into patient care, we wouldn't be here today.
Can you wrap it up, Robin?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm asking for your support on ballot question one. Please vote yes. This is a matter that affects all of us. We'll all be patients one day. It's really a matter of trust. Do you trust the bedside nurses, the ones who do their best to give you their care despite being stretched to the breaking point, or do you trust the hospital executives who only care about the bottom line? Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That was a great
summary, Donna. Thanks.
Robin, sorry. Donna, do you want to offer the alternative view on why one should vote no?
So my name's Donna Glenn. I've been a nurse for 39 years. I'm not a hospital executive. I am the president of the Massachusetts chapter of the American Nurses Association, a volunteer position, and I'm here in opposition of this ballot question. You've all seen the commercial. 86% of nurses say yes to this ballot question. That's not true. That survey that was done by the MNA, the union wing, only surveyed 300 nurses in the Commonwealth. There are over 100,000 registered nurses in the Commonwealth. 86% of 302 nurses, with the majority of them being union nurses, are in favor of more nurses. It is not representative. I can tell you that the American Nurses Association opposes this ballot question. The emergency room nurses of Massachusetts oppose this ballot question. The Academy of Medical Surgical Nurses oppose this ballot question. Infusion nurses oppose. Behavioral health nurses oppose. We're in the middle of the opioid epidemic. This ballot question could strip the community of the nurses who are working in community health, who are working on the opioid epidemic. Because what's going to happen? My colleague says that It's flexible. It's not flexible. I ask you to read that blue book. The bottom line says this ballot question will be enacted January 1st, 2019. That gives us approximately a month and a half to find more than 4,000 nurses to meet this mandate. If we don't meet this mandate, beds will close, units will close. Boston Medical Center has already reported that they will be seeing 100 less patients per day in their emergency room. Now, the comparisons to the California model, apples and oranges, different numbers. The California model included licensed practical nurses. The Massachusetts ballot question does not. The numbers aren't the same in the two models. And you know what? We have the best hospitals in the world. We already outrank California in any patient outcomes data. So, sorry, you can hear my voice is cracking. I've been speaking as a volunteer to many communities, and I thank you for having me here today, because it's the unintended consequences of this ballot question that we're concerned about. We're all concerned about patient care. I'm as concerned as my colleagues are about patient care. This isn't the answer. The American Nurses Association nationally has filed legislation down in Washington, and it's co-sponsored by Bernie Sanders. It's the Safe Staffing for Nurse and Patient Safety Act of 2018, Senate Bill 2446, and the House 5052. This is an approach that works. This approach looks at committee-based staffing. So every hospital would set up a committee with a minimum of 55% bedside nurses. So this way, every hospital unit could decide what staffing works for them. I was talking recently to nurses at New England Baptist Hospital, an orthopedic unit. They do a lot of total knee, total hip replacements. They said to me, we don't need more nurses, we need more physical therapists. I'm like, then this isn't the answer for you. I was talking to a group of nurses at a non-union facility who said, all right, so let me give you a scenario. You have four patients, I have four patients. Two of your patients are going home that day. However, one of my patients is going on hospice, and the family's struggling with it, the patient's struggling with it. Could you take one of my four so I could spend time with this patient? No. Under this ballot question, we could not. That's what happens now. I would say to my colleague, give me one of your patients. I've got two stable ones that are going home. That's what we need by maintaining access to care, keeping the voice of the professional nurse here, and coming up with a better solution.
Thank you very much. You both covered a large part of the question. Could you, explain what you disagree with and what Donna has said, and then we'll do the opposite if there are some specific points where you, I think you've mostly done that, but if you want to really get into specific point, though.
I think when you say certain organizations oppose this, it's a very broad statement. I can also say certain organizations are behind us. I don't have the list of the hundreds of unions and non-unions who have endorsed this. I was just at Florian Hall the other day in Boston. The firefighters came out in support of us. The EMTs came out in support of us. I do believe there's flexibility. Even the scenario where she talks about where someone has four patients and someone has four patients, I'm not sure if that's going to happen in real life. I know charge nurses try to make assignments that are equal, so maybe someone wouldn't have the two dischargers. I think that's where nurses, again, advocate for themselves and for their patients and for their assignments. And maybe that assignment wasn't made at the very beginning of the shift. Maybe you change it around before the shift. So, again, you can safely take care of all your patients.
Great.
Okay,
and,
thank you.
Donna, could you respond to what things Robin has said?
I can't tell you that, is this turning into a union versus non-union? Absolutely. I can tell you that Governor Baker came out on Wednesday. No. The Health Policy Commission has published a report which stated that if this ballot question passes, it is going to cost approximately $800 million annually to the residents of Massachusetts, with no data that supports that this is going to improve care. So I can tell you that the nursing organizations throughout the Commonwealth are opposed to this legislation.
Thank you.
Okay.
So we have audience questions?
No.
We have about 15 minutes allotted for questions from the audience. Yes, sir? Yes, sir?
Thank you. Just be curious as to if, Donna, do you agree there's a problem that needs to be addressed?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And that's why the American Nurses Association has been working, and the Massachusetts constituent, we're working on this committee-based. Because as we said, it's a one-size doesn't fit all. Like, there's a big difference between a community hospital and the Brigham, or a hospital down the Cape and Mass General. We're looking at different hospitals, different patients, and different nurses. Like, I'm the associate dean at Regis. One of my novice nurses can't take the same patients. So that's why we're in favor of a committee based.
If I could ask a follow-up question. How many members in your organization and how many members
So my organization, we are not forced to join. We're a professional organization that in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts has 3,000. Nationally, we have 6 million. But the union, when they sign up to work at a union hospital, they're automatically joined. We are strictly volunteers. We're strictly joining this because of our profession, not because of a union mandate.
I don't know the exact number in the Mass Nurses Association. I'm a member of it. I'm proud to be a member of the Mass Nurses Association. I think the Mass Nurses Association has done great things for nurses and great things for patients, and we continue to advocate for our patients.
Thank you.
The MNA represents 1/4 of the nurses in the Commonwealth. Okay, and we're over 100,000. Okay.
I have been a professional nurse for 42 years. I've worked in the critical care setting 35 of those years. I have been through the best of times and the worst of times, but what frightens me about this legislation, the yes vote, is that it challenges the nurse's judgment and the nurse's autonomy. And this is an unfunded mandate, where are we going to find these nurses by January 1st? And if we don't, it will necessitate bed closure and unit closure. So it's very troubling to me to understand how that equates patient safety. I don't think patient safety is necessarily determined by a number. I think it's determined by the acuity of the patient, the experience of the nurse, and the nurse's judgment skills. So it concerns me greatly that I might go onto a floor and my patient becomes unstable, that we need to find someone quickly to take over the rest of my assignment because my colleagues have their assignment already mandated. So, you know, I think everybody has patient safety at their heart, and I think that we all advocate for that because certainly that's what our profession is about. But I think the yes vote erodes teamwork and erodes collaboration between nurses to decide what is best for their patients at the beginning of every shift.
Sounds like that's mostly a question for Robin to respond
yeah.
to, I guess.
Oh, I didn't hear a question, but I can say I disagree with you. Patients are our number one priority. Mm-hmm. I've been a bedside nurse for 34 years. I advocate for my patients every single moment I walk in. I think nurses have put this question on the ballot to continue to advocate for their patients. You say your patient may go downhill on the floor and you've got X amount of patients. I know lots of hospitals have a rapid response team to kind of have a nurse come in and assist with that patient who's declining so the other nurses' patients don't suffer. But you also have to look at the fact, would you want that nurse with that declining patient to have a limit of 4 patients, or is that nurse gonna have 7 or 8 patients at the same time? But you made a statement, I'm making a statement. It's easier for me to prioritize care on 4 patients than it is for me to prioritize care on 8 patients. You also have to take into the fact that while taking the physical care of a patient with the monitoring, with the medications, with the technology, most hospitals have electronic documentation now. A nurse is spending anywhere between 15 or 20 minutes easily in his or her shift, up to an hour, on just electronic documentation for reimbursement purposes mostly. I don't think nurses are putting this on thinking this is gonna let patients get quote worse care. We want our patients to get better care. I want to be able to see you more. I want to be able to spend time with you more. I want to be able to be there when you get that bad diagnosis. I feel as a nurse, I can do a better job with less patients and my patients will get better care.
Thank you. Max?
Yes. So, yeah, I wanted to put down your opening statement, Robin. You said that you were talking about that there are no shortages, and that you said that we have a bunch of thousands of graduate students who become nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to give Donna the opportunity to see if she agreed with that or if there are any.
There's absolutely. There's a nursing shortage right now. There are 1,200, maybe not in the Boston area, but remember, this is statewide. And there's 1,200 open vacant positions in the Commonwealth right now. There is projected to be an incredible nursing shortage coming up within the next 5 years because my generation is getting ready to retire. And we're predicting, see, back in the day when you're younger than me. We went to the guidance counselor in high school, and we were told nurse, teacher, or secretary. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, first they sent me to the secretarial thing where I was a disaster. So then they were like, okay, she's going to be a nurse. And that generation is now getting ready to retire. And once it retires, you know, who's going to fill these spots? And I'm an educator now, love working with my student nurses. We're under regulations from the Board of Registration of Nursing in Massachusetts as to how many nursing students we can have. We can't just say, oh, there's a ballot question, let's all, you know, admit another 200 nursing students, because we have to look at all of the resources. So there absolutely is a nursing shortage. It is going to worsen when my husband says to me, you can go play golf, okay, someplace warm and sunny. It is absolutely going to worsen in the next 10 years, and this ballot question is going to make everything very worrisome.
Matthew?
Well, I just want to hear if there's a rebuttal to
that. I don't think there is a nursing shortage. I know Massachusetts graduates 3,000 nurses a year. I hear from new grads quite a bit. I actually have three children in college. Two have already graduated college. Their cohorts have finished nursing schools and have come to me looking for guidance for a nursing position. They have applied to numerous places, including the Brigham, South Shore Hospital, Cape Cod Hospital, colleges out in Western Mass, because that's where I grew up. I mean, hospitals out in Western Mass. They apply, they don't hear back from human resources. Or when they do hear back, it's a position for a per diem or part-time. These college kids don't want a per diem or part-time position without benefits. They want to be hired full-time with benefits. They don't get it. So do they choose to become a nurse working per diem? No. I know people who are nurses who are literally working as a waitress because they can make more money working full-time as a waitress than part-time as a nurse. And I also want to just, one more thing. They can get nurses. If anyone remembers the strike at Tufts or the potential strike at Brigham and Women's, both those hospitals found nurses, in theory, to replace us with a 30-day notice. The 37-day implementation plan is when it starts. They don't have 37 just to 37 days to fill the 3,000, 4,000 positions, they're going to have a little more time than that. They need to have a plan in place.
Can I just quickly respond to that? We don't want our hospitals full of traveling nurses and agency nurses and foreign nurses. I mean, that's not best for patient safety and best for patient outcomes.
Sir, over here, yes?
I have a numbers question. The current publications on both sides, one is a $900 million cost. And I've heard the nurses, union nurses, say it's only 40 million, spread across several hundred hospitals. What's the basis of 40 million, and what's the basis of your 40 million? I know that there's an agency that said it's 900, which is a very professional agency, but what's the basis of the union saying it's only 40 million? The second part of my question is, who's going to pay for the number if it's in between the two? If you add the two together and divide by two, who's going to pay for that? Or how do you expect the people of Massachusetts who are offering, already suffering thousands of dollars a year in premiums, going to pay for $900 or $500 million worth of nurses that may or may not be necessary at any given point in time?
I believe we got our number from an associate professor at the Cornell School of Nursing at Boston College, Judith Rothschild. Her estimation was $25 to $45 million. She also, in her estimation, said if there was a 3% pay cut from the administrative portions of all the hospitals, that would go to pay about half that $25 to $45 million. We don't dispute that there's gonna be a cost. Even if you guesstimate that there's gonna need 3,000 nurses, 3,000 nurses divided into 900 million, that means the average nurse is gonna make $300,000 a year. I don't make $300,000 a year. I've been a nurse for 34 years. I make less than a third of that. So I'm not sure where the 900 million came from. I'm guessing the 25 to 45 million. Again, I'm not a numbers person. I'm a bedside nurse, is probably more realistic. I do believe administration could take some slim cuts off their top dollars. I only know numbers from the Brigham. I know my president of the Brigham, I think, makes about $5 million a year. I think my chief nursing officer makes about $4 million a year. That's kind of my answer to that. I think community hospitals have money too. If you notice community hospitals, again, I'm on a lot of...
But that's not true.
No, some of them do, not all of them. I don't think every single hospital has tons of money, but I don't know how many nurses they need either.
Can I just respond to that also? The professor from Boston College is the past M&A president, okay? Her data was very skewed and very invalid. I've read the study, very invalid. She did not include maternity in her numbers. She did not include the emergency department in her numbers. She looked at primarily the night shift, so it wasn't a solid study. However, the Health Policy Commission came out in support of 800,000 to 900,000. And it's not just nursing salaries, it's also the orientation of the nurses, the benefit package. So there's more into it. But our numbers were supported by the Health Policy Commission. And I don't know who's gonna pay for it. I can't answer that. Community hospitals right now are at risk. Boston Medical Center is at risk. Boston Medical Center is not making millions of dollars. They're breaking even, serving the underserved population in our community. And the other place that is really worried is behavioral health, mental health care. They're very worried that if this goes through, they will no longer be able to provide care to patients and will be closing beds.
I think we have one more question from this lady here that maybe we may have to wrap it up with that.
Okay. Thank you. I'm a retired psychiatric clinical nurse specialist. I worked 48 years before I retired. I've been in community health. I've been a director of a community VNA. I've been in state hospitals. I've been in acute inpatient psychiatry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've worked at the federal level, every level you can think of, in private and nonprofit. And I think one of the good things about this bill is that it's going to force the physicians and particularly the hospital association to take a look at why, with some community hospitals that are crying poor, why are they building new units? Why are they emerging to form bigger coalitions? They need to take a look at their costs and where they're putting it. And it's not going in a way that helps direct patient care. And that really concerns me.
So could you put that as a question for one or the other?
It's a statement, okay. And either people can respond.
Okay. I have a quick question.
Okay.
These studies that you're both referencing, is there any place where we can actually go look at them and see the assumptions that went into the analyses?
Yes. We have a website.
And we also have, they're available on the websites.
Okay. If you Google the stuff, you just get commentary. I like to see the data.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to see the commentary.
I'll actually give you my card data. And I can share the studies with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Okay.
I just want to say the other thing I'm concerned about is this is not being filmed for public. And that is really concerning.
It's not being videoed, but it is being audio recorded for Franklin Matters, and I will broadcast it.
Thanks, Steve.
There's another question.
Can you squeeze in one or two more questions?
Yes, ma'am?
One of you alluded to legislation that's currently out there. I'd like to know why that isn't being publicized. One of the concerns I've had all along was whether or not this whole process was being precipitous, whether we shouldn't be looking legislatively at ways to solve these problems. I think the nursing shortage is largely of our own doing. We made nurses not want to stay at the bedside, and it's because the administration wasn't funding adequately for the nurses who would have stayed there. Nobody wants to work per diem. Nobody wants to work without benefits. If there is a way to address this so that the financing and the structure is improved, it seems to me that that's the route we should have been considering. And having not gotten to that place, and now for the first time I'm hearing that there's legislation, I think that I like to say to both of you, is there a way to look at that more effectively?
Oh, I actually agree with you. And like I said, the ANA website, the legislation is available. The Senate Bill 2446, which is gaining momentum right now down in Washington, D.C. I can share with you that when this whole ballot question started, both sides were testifying at the State House, and the Health Policy Commission asked us, well, are you willing to sit down to come up with a better plan? We said yes, MNA said no.
Just a really quick point. MNA and MHA did sit down.
I didn't say MHA.
No, well,
that's Mass Hospital Association.
But we did sit down.
Nurse to nurse to work this out did not happen.
I'm not. I can answer your questions. I do like legislation. It's been 20 years.
And
I'll talk to you about the bills.
And let me just say, ANA was willing to sit down and talk. All right, no, I'm not Mass Hospital Association, I'm a nurse. I'm not employed by the Mass Hospital Association. I receive no funding from the Mass Hospital Association. The American Nurses Association was willing to sit down. So now we're still working on the federal legislation in Massachusetts, but if this ballot question passes, we will not have an opportunity to incorporate a plan that to me makes more sense.
I have one more quick question, and I think you have a question. I'm a little bit confused because the words union and non-union have been brought up. I was a teacher for a number of years representing my union. Is there a statewide union for nurses, does it go by hospital by hospital?
No, there's a Massachusetts Nurses Association that Certain hospitals are unionized, and the Mass Nurses Association represents those nurses. Some hospitals are not unionized. But you can still be part of the Mass Nurses Association and still and work like at South Shore Hospital, but we don't represent you for contract negotiations.
So why isn't the I don't know why the union hasn't taken this up. I mean, if I, as a teacher, if there was a problem with class size or other work issues, the union would have taken it up. I don't really
think the union.
The union. But we have. The Mass Nurses Association have brought this to the ballot question. The Mass Nurses Association, we're the ones who went out and collected the over 100,000 signatures to get it to the ballot.
But why did the union have to take it to a ballot? Why couldn't it?
Because for over 20 years, we've been at the State House trying to get legislation through. And like I said before, we didn't get it through for the violence against nurses. We haven't gotten it through for patient handling.
Okay.
We keep running into roadblock after roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And I think we felt at this point of the journey, our best bet was to take it to the voters on a ballot question. And again, inform the voters that this is a serious issue in hospitals. And like I said before, most of us will be a patient someday. And you need to know what number you are for that patient. Are you one of four patients or are you one of eight?
But it's the unintended consequences of this ballot question that have now started this rich discussion. And I ask everyone, read the question. We all got our red books. Read the question.
Well, nothing's worked so far. Give it a chance, and then you can repeal it if it's not working.
Oh, it's very difficult to repeal
about unnecessary patient deaths.
It's very look at what every community is struggling with right now with the marijuana legislation. It's very challenging to repeal if this were to pass.
This is obviously a very popular question to discuss.
Yeah, it has been. Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Just an informational question. I think in the yes advertisements, there's an implication that Massachusetts hospitals are for-profit. Aren't most Massachusetts hospitals not-for-profit? Again, I'm not saying there isn't perhaps waste in the administration, but isn't that true that they're non-profit?
Okay, you're just talking to the bedside nurse. I think they're all labeled non-profit, but it's hard to believe I work for a non-profit.
I do get that.
It's hard for me personally to believe I work for a non-profit hospital when all those people make that amount of money. Great. And the same thing, I work for the Partners organization and they're building the ginormous place in Westwood. They've built the one in Foxborough. They've built the one in Medford. It's kind of where they spend the money. So in theory, yeah, they're nonprofit. It's where they reinvest the money. And as this lady mentioned, do you reinvest the money into structures or do you reinvest the money back into patient care and hire more nurses?
That's
I just wanted to build off of your question. I think you were trying to ask why it wasn't done through contract negotiations rather than making it state law. Is that what you're trying to ask?
Yeah. Oh, it has been done through certain that's why nurses have gone out on strike, is for safe patient limits and safe patient care. Mm-hmm. And I can speak again as one of the nurses at the Brigham who I would have been the one leaving my patient if we didn't come to agreement for a contract with the Brigham. It was about safe patient care and patient safety. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about how much money I make. That was our big thing. We want to be able to provide safe patient care. So I think working in the union hospital, I can say for the most part, the Brigham has decent amount of staffing. There are plenty of times we don't have good staffing and we make our unsafe staffing report. And I can tell you, I've written them out and I hear from, because I work the night shift, I hear from the nurse administrator when I go to make a say, I don't believe my patient assignment is safe. What can you do? Their thing is like, do the best you can. This is what I have to give you. I don't have a nurse to give you.
Can I just follow up on that? Every nurse in the Commonwealth wants to provide their patients with safe patient care.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I just wanna, I mean, that's the goal of our profession. Okay.
We're gonna have one more question.
Okay.
Is it real fast? Because
It's not a question, it's just a comment.
Okay.
I started as a no person. I'm a nurse, retired. I started as a no person, and I listened to Robin and some other people talk and became a yes person. And now I'm listening to this, and I would say to both of you, go back to your organizations and make it much more publicly available, that there is legislation going on so that the public can get involved and get what both of you really want, which is better quality of care for the patients.
And if necessary, we'll go through this ballot initiative and then start pushing hard to get a better law, because either way, this is not the best solution.
Right.
I think that with the care that everyone demonstrates about their patients, a better solution is what everyone deserves.
I agree.
And thank you for wrapping that up.
Thank you.
Oh, I want to thank everybody for coming out. We are way over time, but it was worth it.
Thank you. Thank you, Robin.
And
thank you.
If you have ideas for another forum sometime early next year, come and talk to us.
Oh, you're welcome.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? In particular, if you have an interest in real estate, zoning, or construction, I would like someone to assist me by following the Planning Board, Zoning Board of Appeals, Conservation Commission meetings, one or more of the above. I'll provide the guidance on note-taking and sharing. You'll need to bring an inquisitive and open mind and a willingness to learn and share what you find. Overall, if you can use this information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can always reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.